Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown, Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm asking all the listeners if you would please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along as we go through God's Word together on tonight. I will be delivering the word on tonight. My special guest apparently is not available, so we're going to continue to lift up Pastor Samuel Johnson in prayer. God already sees what's going on, so we know that his word always has to go forward. So I'm going to fill in for him on tonight. Again, I will be bringing the word of God. So get your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along with me as we go through God's word together on tonight once again. We're going to open up with prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are, Heavenly Father. We bless your name because we know that you're worthy to be praised. In the midst of it all, no matter what's going on around us that we don't seem to understand, we thank you that you are in total control at all times. We thank you that you sit high and you look low. Your eyes are in every place. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We know that we don't deserve it, but we are thankful for it in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we come asking in Jesus' name that you will forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, and every faithful doer of your word all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins, because your word lets us know clearly that all have sinned and come short and fallen short of your glory. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus that redeems us when we come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, asking to be forgiven your word lets us know that we are forgiven of our sins through your son, Jesus. So we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and the finished work that he did on the cross for us. All those that who have accepted your son, Jesus Christ, all those that will in the future accept your son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we now come in the name of Jesus Christ, asking that you would move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. I lift up my brother Curtis Brown in a special way, Heavenly Father. He's in the hospital right now. The doctor said he needs to have his gallbladder removed in about 3 days, and it's a complicated situation, but we know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders. So, Heavenly Father, I lift up my brother Curtis to you right now, that you are moved by your spirit, have your way, that your will be done in his life, and that you would touch and lead the hands of the doctors that as they do the procedure on him through the operation, that all will go well. And afterwards, he will have a powerful, strong testimony, and he will stand in holy boldness, declaring to the world that it was you who have healed him. And not only my brother, but all those that are sick and afflicted. Heavenly Father, touch, heal, and deliver, that they will all have a testimony, and they will be willing to share your testimonies, that they will be able to give you the glory, that others may know that if you are able to heal them, because we know that you have no respect of persons, you're able to heal those that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus Christ all over the land. Heavenly Father, we now, in the name of Jesus Christ, lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. We ask that you will comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Let them know and remember that if earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, we now ask that you will move by your spirit over the airways. Should there be any listener who is not saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said through your word, Heavenly Father, that will prick their hearts. They will be able to open their own mouth, even on tonight, and confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them. That once they're saved, that they will all come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their individual God purposes in the earth for your glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for traveling grace for my sister Danetta and her husband Roger as they made it safely to Greensboro, North Carolina. And also want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for traveling grace for the members of my church family, also our bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings, and those that are traveling with him to Franklin, Virginia, that they all arrive safely. So we now ask you, Lord, you will move by your spirit and have your way as we go through your word on tonight, that your word will be received in love, that you will be glorified through it all. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And we don't want to forget about the listeners on tonight. Heavenly Father, I lift them up to you and ask that you will move by your spirit in their lives. Grant them the desires of their hearts. For you know who they are and you know where they are. For you know every faithful, committed doer of your word all over the land. So strengthen us as we go through this life's journey, that we will not give up on you. We will not throw in the towel, but we will stand on your word, trusting and believing by faith that all things are working together for our good, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, tonight's spiritual food for thought, whatever you want to do, if you want to be great at it, you have to love it and be able to make sacrifices for it. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, whatever you want to do, if you want to be great at it, you have to love it and be able to make sacrifices for it. That's tonight's spiritual food for thought. And I pray that it has been a blessing to someone on tonight. In the form of announcements, I only have one announcement for tonight. And I just want to send out congratulations to my brother in Christ, my brother, Pastor-elect Marcus Jennings. He is the youngest son of our bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings. He has been selected to be the pastor of First Baptist Church, which is in Franklin, Virginia. They will be installing him on tomorrow in that great celebration. Bishop James A. Jennings and the Greater Shield of Faith members that have traveled with him to Virginia to witness this awesome, awesome work of God. And we just say to God be the glory for all he has done through Pastor-elect Marcus Jennings' life and what he's going to do through him and through that ministry of First Baptist Church in Franklin, Virginia. So I personally want to give my congratulations to Pastor-elect Marcus Jennings, and we just know God is going to do great things through him. He is an awesome young man of God, a young vessel that God has anointed and appointed for such a time as this. So we just give God the glory for it all. So as we get ready to go into God's word on tonight, I do not have a topic for tonight, but we're just going to go and let the Lord use us, and we're going to flow with the Holy Spirit on tonight, because somebody needs to hear this word. So that's why it's important on tonight that you have your Bibles, because we're going to have some scriptures that you need to refer to as we go through this word on tonight. Again, I do not have a topic for tonight. I am just being led by the Spirit. So sometimes we just have to let go and let God have his way, because we're so used to having things outlined. But that's good to do. It's always good to have an outline. But sometimes we just need to step back and let the Lord use us in the way that he sees fit, that he will be glorified. So that's what we're going to do on tonight through his word. So we're going to go to our music break. But before we go to the music break, I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from the listeners. You can always email me at James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. So in the form of a song, I am going to play this song because I think it's going to tie in with what God has given me to give to his people on tonight, the listeners. So I pray that you enjoy this music break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to get right into God's word. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath. Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thyself. Oh, cover me with thy presence. Hey, oh, oh, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. If you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be covered today. Oh, cover me. Oh, with thy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Yes. Come on, lift your voice and say it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Cover me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that covers us, your, those that are believers in you, those that are following you, those that are servants, ambassadors, and vessels for you here in the earth, upbuilding God's kingdom. So we thank you for the blood, your blood, Jesus Christ, that covers us. Thank you, Jesus. So right now we're going to get into this word, and I just want to open up saying on tonight, with a heavy heart for people on today's families. This is what I want to open up with. We're going to get into the scriptures on tonight, different variety of scriptures as the Lord leads and guides us through this message on tonight. Again, I do not have a topic. I'm just going to flow with the Holy Spirit because someone needs to hear this word. And this word is for me as well, not just only for you, the listeners. This word is for me as well. I see so many times, even sometimes in my own family, how we can take one another for granted. We must remember that the Word of God lets us know that all have sinned and come short of God's glory, and that we also know, for those of us that are readers and scholars of God's Word, we know that God's Word lets us know that if it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, there will be the judgment. We will all be judged by God for everything we have done in our bodies, the good and the bad. So as we get ready to let the Lord lead us through this word on tonight, as I was meditating and thinking about what to give to the people on tonight, the Lord showed me clearly today that we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to learn, for those of us that are not, you know, showing love toward our family members, we need to get closer to our family members. We need to get closer to our God-given friends, those of us that have friends that we know that God has placed in our lives. We don't want to take family or friends for granted because, once again, we're all going to leave this world one day. If Jesus don't come back first, the word says it has been appointed unto man, you and I, wants to die, after that, the judgment. So we do not want to have regrets in our hearts as we leave this earthly body. That's why we should love one another. The Word of God said the world would know that we love Him by the way that we love and treat one another. So it's important that we tell our family members that we love them. Not only tell them, but show them, and do it out of a sincere heart. Because we, as we get to go to this word, we're going to look at, in Hebrews, the first scripture for tonight is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, out of the King James Version of the Bible. And it simply says unto us, and a lot of people start off saying, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But the Word of God says now, right now, not tomorrow, but right now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So That's how we want to start off with this message on tonight, with that scripture, because again, we don't want to, we can see our loved ones, we can see our friends that God has placed in our lives, and sometimes we take them for granted, and sometimes we think that we are going to be here on earth forever, or that our family members or our friends are going to be here forever. Don't take that lightly or for granted, because no man knows the day nor the hour when you or I will be called home to be with the Lord. We see in the news, we hear on the news constantly, all the time, about how people can sometimes be laying in their bed, sleeping at night, be sitting up on the sofa in the living room, watching TV, or at the dinner table in the dining room, having dinner with their family and friends, and all of a sudden, stray bullets come through the windows and through the walls, killing people instantly. So, and also, you could be walking down the street and get ran over by a car. And we even hear nowadays that there are so many people, they're going to bed healthy, and they go down and they lay down at night and don't wake up. There's no sickness in their bodies, but for some reason, they don't wake up. God calls them home. So that's why it's so important that we don't take one another for granted. So in that vein, we're going to look at why we are talking about this on tonight. And the reason we say that, I am hoping that we find purpose in the process. This is a process. Life is a process. And we don't want to skip the process. So I am going to be coming to you all with some scriptures from the book that my youngest brother wrote, Herbert Charles Brown. My youngest brother wrote the book titled, Don't Skip the Process, Making Life Challenges Work for You. So that's what we're talking about on tonight. So finding purpose in the process. And it starts off by saying, everything seems to be rush, move in today's society. And it's true. Everybody seems to be wanting everything instantly. Everyone want everything done fast and in a hurry, don't want to wait on God. But he's saying here in this book, everything seems to be rush, move in today's society. Everyone appears hardwired to move at a fast pace, regardless of the work to be completed. No one has time anymore to follow through with completing each step in a particular process, or so we tell ourselves. There is no doubt that time is precious, but it is also important to get things done right. Sometimes moving too quickly and avoiding steps actually cost us more in time in the long run. Life itself is a process. You have different stages, beginning with conception, where the egg is waiting, the process necessary to develop into a baby. In the process of life, there are different stages we must all complete in order to fully develop and mature. We also have stages in life that are critical to our development. When we skip them, it can damage our development and potential for growth. Just like the caterpillar, it leaves us unprepared and unable to soar to new heights. Change is guaranteed to happen whether we want it to or not. So while it is easy to remain comfortable with what's familiar, it's not always practical. When you and I allow ourselves sometimes flexibility, to accept change and to learn new things, it helps make life lessons less stressful. Before intervention of the push button telephones and cell phones, it was much simpler, and it took longer to make phone calls, and that is the truth. Advancement to science and technology have helped us to make things more efficient and less time consuming, which is a good thing. But there is also a downside when we lose our perspective and our way. There is a sense of urgency now to everything, and it affects how we treat people. Treating people with kindness and respect shouldn't get lost in the pursuit of our dreams and happiness. One of the most basic and powerful principles Jesus taught us was to love our brothers as ourselves. That means we should respect others and treat them the way we want to be treated. If we lose sight of this in our mad rush to get things done, then it is time to step back and reevaluate. What would Jesus do? We should be asking ourselves, am I setting the type of example that Jesus would approve of? Studies have shown that there is a connection between a person's education and higher wages. Their better paying jobs usually require you to have obtained a certain level of education and or training before they will consider hiring you. So that is an incentive to remain in school and complete your education. Why? Because it is easy for someone to think that the grass is greener on the other side. Because when you look at the grass from a distance, it actually does look greener and healthier. Looks can be deceiving. When you or I get a closer look, we sometimes find it looks totally different. Now we notice brown, thin patches in the grass, perhaps some crabgrass too. Sometimes what seems like a good idea really isn't. When you and I are making important decisions in our lives, we must be informed. We must make sure that we have all the facts needed to make a good decision and make the right decision. This will allow us to weigh our decisions carefully and gain an understanding of what the consequences are. So, dropping out of high school can really limit your options, making it difficult to find a job, enter the military, or even start your own business, as it also increases the likelihood that you will have the negative contact with criminal justice system by getting influenced or caught up in illegal activities. Most of us are familiar with criminal justice system because there are so many television shows which describe the process. A person is arrested. They may not, or they may be told their Miranda rights by the television officer. At some point, the person asks to speak with his or her attorney. Before long, the suspect is sitting in a courtroom full of jurors. After the attorneys have each presented their case, they make closing arguments and wait for the jury's decision. In most Law and Order episodes, the jury usually come back with a guilty verdict. Next, we see the defendant being sentenced by the judge and leaving the courtroom and being to begin his or her prison sentence. This is not to make light of the process, but this is to point out how familiar we have become with the steps in this process. Unlike the actors and actresses in those television scenes, real people get caught up in this process and they don't get to go home. On a daily basis, there are real victims and real families torn apart on both sides. Prisons today are filled with people of all ages who made poor choices and jeopardized their future. So give your chance every opportunity to be successful by not skipping or abandoning things such as an education, because they are critical to your development. So that's just one phase of what we're talking about here in this part of the book, finding purpose in your process. So we got to look at what the Word of God has to say about this. When we fail to get into God's Word, and we depend on ourselves and we depend on people and we don't trust God in our decision making, we can find ourselves in this type of situations where we end up in front of a judge or front of jurors, which are making decisions about the rest of our lives because of the poor choices and decisions that we made. So what I'm really emphasizing on tonight is we need to consult God regarding every choice and every decision that we are making before we actually do them. You don't want to skip the process. That's a part of the process. It's going before the Lord, asking him to lead and guide you in every step of your life. Because sometimes we think, oh, this is what we want. This is the area that God wants us to go down or walk down in life. But when we consult God as a believer in Jesus Christ, and we don't depend on ourselves or our human flesh, then we cannot be led wrong because the Holy Spirit never leads his people wrong. God never leads us, you know, to the our own devices, but we can make our own choices, but he is there through the Holy Spirit to let us know which path is the right path that we should choose. So it is up to you and I to make the right decision. And that decision should always be coming from the Lord. So as we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we see in Galatians, that was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. So we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, tells us, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. See, that's what I'm talking about. If we are being led by our flesh and we don't consult God through his word and be led by the spirit, that's exactly what he's saying here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Again, it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. See, the flesh fights against the spirit. Your flesh and my flesh fights against the Holy Spirit that lives in us who are saved in Jesus' name. And that's the work of the enemy. When we try to be contrary to the will and the spirit of God, when he's trying to lead us down the right path that we should go, and we refuse to acknowledge and accept the path that God has given and leading us to and through his Holy Spirit, and if we choose to go down another path, that's what he's talking about. Our flesh is being contrary to the spirit. And then it goes on to say, and the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh? They are in conflict. There we go. That's the conflict. The conflict is between your flesh and the Holy Spirit that lives in us. With each other, they are in conflict with one another so that you are not able to do whatever you want. So if we are truly being led by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit talks to you and I and tells us if we're going down the wrong path, or we're making the wrong decision pertaining to that job that man or woman that we want in our life, or whatever the case may be, that house, that car, if we're making the wrong decision, the Holy Spirit will try to lead and guide you and I to make the right decision. But when we get so caught up in our flesh, we tune out the Holy Spirit, that's where we find ourselves getting in trouble. So we just read from the scripture that there is this constant internal, and it's constant daily. It's a constant internal conflict with what we want physically, talking about the flesh, and then what we are to be asking the Lord to lead and guide us through his Holy Spirit. It works to keep us from being too impulsive in our decision making. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we are being led by our flesh, the Holy Spirit will whisper in our ear and let us know that you're making the wrong decision. You're thinking too fast. You're not letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. You're being led and guided through your flesh. And that's what we're talking about. The flesh is always fighting against the Holy Spirit that lives within you and I. So we don't want to skip the process. We want to let the Lord lead us and guide us through His Holy Spirit that lives in us so that we won't make the wrong decisions and go down the wrong path. So in that vein, it sounds like a lot of our conscience, and that is, it goes to our minds, the battle between the spiritual and the physical. It all starts in the mind, the conscience. So each is in direct contrast to the other and highlights the importance of having balance in our lives. So we, as Christians, again, we do not want to skip the process. Even in our relationship with God, we sometimes suffer because we are too busy to tune in to the Holy Spirit and be led by Him through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes marriages fall apart because that was not what God did not put you, that woman or that man together. The flesh took over and you thought that you were so in love with that individual that you were so caught up in the flesh of that person that you and I'm guilty of it too, we make the wrong decisions. We just so in love that we tune out the Holy Spirit and who is trying to lead us and guide us, let us know that hold on a minute, you're about to make a wrong decision, you're about to make a wrong choice. So we must be careful how we invest our time in our prayer lives. We must always seek God through prayer when we are making decisions so that we don't skip the process. God has a process for you and I. Again, life itself is a process, and we cannot skip the process of life, because we find that a lot of people find themselves constantly thrown into bad relationships. Again, that's what we were just talking about, that a lot of people find themselves constantly thrown into bad relationships, and they wonder why. It could be that they continue to make the same mistakes over and over in their selection process. So if you or I find ourselves doing something that doesn't work for us, then maybe it's time to try something different. Physical attraction to a person is one of the oldest and strongest urges known to mankind. You or I may meet a person and the chemistry is there. Soon, the attractions turn to lust. And before you and I know it, you are in a sexual relationship. Wait a minute. For some relationships, it's too strong of a word. You gave in to your urges and you had sex. That's the bottom line. So when we allow our flesh to intervene, and when it comes down to making choices about a mate or a physical attraction about a mate, sometimes we can be so caught up in that physical attraction to that person. Again, that's one of the oldest tricks that the enemy has used back in the beginning of time, and he's still using it today. So that's one of the errors in our lives that we don't want to skip that process. When we think that we are about to come into a relationship with someone, we need to make sure that God is leading us through His Holy Spirit so that we don't have to deal with the consequences of making the wrong choice. Even some marriages, God says that what He has put together, let no man put asunder. But sometimes people get married and God has nothing to do with it. They just go out on their own and they make their own choice and decision that I'm going to, you know, I love this person. This is who I want to be with. And no matter what God's word say about it, no matter what anyone else say about it, this is what I want. And this is the person I want to be with. And then you wonder why things fall apart, you know, and the marriage don't work. You find yourself constantly bickering and fighting amongst one another. And the relationship do not work out. And you wonder why. You fail to let God lead you. I am guilty of that. I have been down that road myself. And so I'm sure that maybe some of you listeners, you have made that same mistake. So that's why it's important that we keep diligent. We must be diligent in God's word so that we can make sure that there's no that there is no doubt in our minds when we are led by the Holy Spirit, whether making choices about a mate, whether it's making choices about purchasing a home, buying a new car, or getting a new job, whatever the situation may be, we don't want to skip the process of leaving God out. We want God, through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, to lead and guide us in the way that we should go, that He will be glorified through it, so that we don't have to suffer the consequences, because there are consequences when we go out and we do things on our own, and we skip the process of getting in God's Word and the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. We will suffer the consequences when we make bad choices. Sometimes the consequences come immediately, and sometimes they don't come till years later. But there is a price that we must all pay, and we will all pay when we make choices out of our flesh and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So on tonight, I am saying all of that to say that through all of this, we don't want to forget about our family. We don't want to forget about our friends that God has placed in our lives. It is so important that we allow God to lead and guide us, because the enemy is at work still today, just like he was back in the Garden of Eden when they were told by God the tree was not to touch, but they allowed the enemy to intervene, and they did the opposite of what God told them not to do, and that's why we have sin in the world today. Sin came into the world because Adam and Eve failed to obey God. So when we, as people of God, we too can sometimes skip the process, but there is a way that we can be redeemed when we skip the process and we allow our flesh to make decisions for us, and we don't yield to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is trying to lead and guide us in the right way. So we know, we need to know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is coming from the NIV version of the Bible. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and he did. Jesus died for you, he died for me. If you're listening on tonight, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, know that Jesus Christ loves you. He don't love your sin. He don't love my sin. He don't love sin at all, because there's no sin in him. He loves us, and that's why we can go to him and be forgiven through his love and through his shed blood on the cross, and through his dying and rising for us, and we are justified through faith. We are justified through Jesus Christ's love and his blood that was shed for you and I, because we are convinced that he died for us all. And therefore, when he died for us all, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. So we don't live for our flesh. We should be living for Jesus Christ. We should be living so that everywhere we go, somebody can see Jesus Christ in us. But we should be living not for ourselves, but for him, Jesus Christ, who died for us, because he rose again, just like he said he would, from the dead. And he is now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions for you and I on tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, from the King James Version of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert for your adversary. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking anyone to devour or someone to devour." So in other words, we should always be alert. We should, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. Because again, the adversary, the enemy, he is still roaming this earth just like he was back in the Garden of Eden. He is still roaming the earth today, those whom he may devour. So that's why it's important that we do what Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 says. Again, Galatians 5, 22, verses 22 and 23 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Once again, Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 from the NIV version of the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, in other words, this is letting us know that we must keep vigilant. We must be diligent. In other words, we should always be on the alert. The Word of God said we should always be watching in prayer, watching and praying at all times. Stay vigilant so that you can be sure that no light thing for you and I to know that we all one day will stand in the place of judgment. Again, we will all stand in the before God in the day of judgment. That's why we must work urgently with everyone we meet to get them ready to face God. That's why the Word of God says, for those of us who are saved in Jesus' name, we are compelled, it's a commandment from God, that we are compelled to go out into the hedges and the highways. In other words, today we are to go into the street ministry. We are to go into the prisons, to the nursing home, to the hospital, to the homeless shelter. Everywhere we go, we are to be spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's why it is urgent that each and every one of us who are saved in Jesus' name get those who are, we know we have some people in our families who are not saved, and we know that they are not saved. We have some people in our families who are saved, but they have walked away from God. But we do not want to skip the process, if that's a process as well. When we are to talk to individuals, whether they're in our family or not, or a stranger on the street, through God's word, that's why we must study his word, so that when we are asked questions by individuals who do not know the Lord, we will be able to rightly divide God's word. And we must rightly divide his word in truth, so that they will be able to see that it's not us who is revealing this word to them, that it's the Holy Spirit through us who is speaking to them. So that they too will be able to make the right decision, and they don't skip the process. So that they too will be able to make the right decision and confess the Lord Jesus Christ with their own mouth. They will be able to ask him to come into their hearts and save them from their sins. They will also know that once they're saved, and they will be able to also ask God to be able to show them, and he is able to show them, just like he showed you and I who are saved in his name. You and I who are saved in Jesus' name. By now, if you have been saved any amount of time, you should know your God purpose. And if you don't know your God purpose, if you have been saved for any amount of time and you still don't know your God purpose, that's a process too. You don't want to skip it. You want to bow down in prayer and be sincere about it and ask God to reveal to you through his Holy Spirit what your purpose is. Because it's not by accident that you and I are born. We are born with and for a purpose here on earth, and that is to be pleasing to God and to do the works on earth that he has assigned to our hands. So that's why it's important that we know without a doubt what God has ordained for each one of us to do, so that we don't be going out in the world doing things out of our flesh and out of our through our minds, thinking this is what God said, this is the road that God wanted me to go down, because we have not gotten into God's word. We have not sought him in prayer and asked his direction for our lives. So that's a part that we skip, and that's, again, that is a process. We do not skip God's process through his word. When he tells us, you and I, certain things and to be done a certain way, that's exactly how he meant for it to be done. So we can't skip and do things the way we want to do it. We have to do it according to God's word so that he will be glorified through us. We're not saying that we are to go out into the world and just go talking out off the top of our heads to try to make people think that we are smart and to make us look good to people in the world. But we are to make sure, again, we are to make sure that we have the word of God in us, and we are rightly dividing the word of God to the people as we do street ministry, so that they will not be confused, so that they won't be able to, that they won't skip the process in which they too must make in order to be saved in Jesus' name. So as we go forth and we in life, we as Christians, we need to learn how to get back on track for some of us who have gotten off track and we are doing our own thing and it's not pleasing to God. We must remember that even for those of you that like and love sports, there's a lot of people who love sports. I, too, love sports. I don't like all sports, but there are certain sports that I love. And it really boils down to this. Sometimes, and women nowadays are really into sports, just like some of the men are. And some women are more so into sports these days than men are. So we can even get so sidetracked in sports that we forget about God. Something simple as that. We can get caught up in sports. We can get caught up in our jobs. We can get caught up in our relationship with people or our mate or someone that we are coming into a relationship with that we think we love and we want to be with for the rest of our lives. And we get so in tune to the individual and the things of this world and material things that we forget about God. And that is a process as well. The Word of God says we should not never get to assemble ourselves together around in the house of God. When we can get together in the house of God and assemble ourselves in the house of God to give him glory, honor, and praise, which he so deserves, and we are to do that as the body of Christ. We are to give him glory, honor, and praise individually, and then as a corporate body of believers, we are to give God glory, honor, and praise because of who he is. And we thank God for his Holy Spirit that leads and guides us, that lets us know that this life is a process, and we don't want to skip the process by letting our flesh lead and guide us. We want to be led and guided by God's word and through his Holy Spirit. So as we see in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it talks about Lois, the grandmother of Timothy. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Me, myself, and my siblings, we were brought up in church at young ages. We were little small children, so we knew and we grew up in church. We grew up knowing about the Lord. We grew up knowing about his word. We grew up coming to know Jesus Christ for ourselves because our mother, who's resting now in heaven with the Lord, she took us, she didn't just send us to church, she took us to church. And it's so important that you may be a young mother, you may be in a new marriage, you may be in a new relationship, but if you have children, you need to make sure that you not just send your children to church, because we see that today a lot now as well. A lot of people are sending their children to church like it's a nursery. They drop the children off at church, and they go about their business, and after church is over with, they may come pick their child up, or they have some member of the church drop their child back off at home because they're so busy doing things that they want to do, and they forgot about God. And they send their children, they take the children to church and drop them off, and then failing to remember or know that they need the Lord too. So it's important, well, that we remember those of us that have parents that took us to church and introduced us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we should be thankful that they did not skip the process. The Lord says, train up a child in the way they should go, so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. So as we get ready to wrap up this message on tonight, as we were led by the Holy Spirit, as I said, we did not have a topic. Sometimes we just need to be led by the Spirit and let him tell us what he wants us to give to his people, because he knows who's going to be listening and what we all stand in need of. So as we looked at this, Paul urges Timothy to carry out on this faith tradition to fan out into the flame the gift of God within him through the Holy Spirit who gives us power. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, Timothy could fearlessly live for the gospel. A strong spiritual legacy doesn't guarantee we'll all come to faith, but the example and mentoring of others can help prepare the way. After you and I receive Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit will guide us into service and living for him, and even in nurturing the faith of others. And I am a witness. Because love strengthens, love persistent strength and intensity is often present in romantic relationships, but it only fully expressed in the love of God that He has for people through His Son Jesus Christ. If you and I can be physically in a strong romantic relationship, but you know that sometimes can only be temporary. But see, God is looking for our people, you and I, to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, compelling men, women, boys, and girls to come in and be saved while they have time. Because the love of God for His people is always through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it only comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's why it is important for us who are in the body of Jesus Christ to go out in the hedges and highways and to minister unto the lost, those that are still spiritually blind, so that they too will come to know who Jesus Christ is for themselves. They will be able to open their own mouth to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in His name. When the things we consider to be sturdy and dependable are swept away, our disappointment can open the door to new understanding for God's love for us. I'm going to say that again. When the things we consider to be sturdy and dependable are swept away, our disappointment can open the door to a new understanding of God's love for us. His affection is higher and deeper and stronger and longer lasting than anything on earth. So whatever you or I face today, we face it with Him beside us. We face it with the Holy Spirit living within us, holding us up, helping us along, and reminding us that we are all loved. So that's what it's all about tonight. We are all loved by God. Even the sinner who is not saved in Jesus' name, they are saved in Jesus' name. They are loved too. But I thank God for His love for even the sinner, because God still hears sinners' prayers even on today. So as by those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are saved in His name, we don't want to skip the process. We don't want to forget about those that are behind prison bars. We don't want to forget about those that are in our families who are not saved, and we know they're not saved. We know that they're not walking upright before the Lord. And we know that we have family members who are saved and they have walked away from God for whatever reason. So we know that it's our job to go into the prisons, into the nursing homes, into the homeless shelters, and to go into the streets and minister to people, those that are still spiritually blind. It's a part of the process as a believer that we do what God has called us to do, so that our work on earth will not be in vain, but that through our living, God will be glorified. So don't skip the process. When you have your family members around you, don't take that lightly or for granted that they are always going to be here. You and I, we do not know when the Lord is going to call us home, and we don't know how we're going to leave this world. So don't skip the process when you have a chance to be a light, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to someone, or when you can put a smile on someone's face or just say a kind word. Don't skip the process. Don't skip the chance, because you never know. You and I, we don't know that we're going to wake up tomorrow. We don't even know if we're going to take our next breath or not. There used to be a phrase that you're here today and gone tomorrow. But as we see now, today, we could be here today and gone today. So don't skip the process. Don't take it lightly. When God has called you into fellowship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and you are saved in Jesus' name, of failing to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ and be an example of Jesus Christ anywhere you go, that somebody can see Jesus Christ in you, that God will be glorified. I pray that this word has been a blessing to someone on tonight. Again, I did not have a message title, but I was led by the Spirit, and I pray that this word has been received and has been helpful to the listeners on tonight, because not only was this word for you, this word was for me as well on tonight. I pray that God was glorified and that you have been blessed by this word on tonight. We're going to close out in prayer, as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word on tonight, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, which you have given us through your word and through your Holy Spirit who leads and guides us, so that we don't have to depend on our minds and our flesh, that we make the wrong decision. And then we have to pay the consequences or the price for the wrong things that we have done and for the wrong decisions that we have made by skipping your process. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us through your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, that we will be able to stand on your word and be led by you through your Holy Spirit, so that everywhere we go, that we can be standing on your word, we can rightly divide your word. So those that may not be saved in Jesus' name, or those that are saved in Jesus' name, may be down and out and need a word of encouragement, we will be able to have the right words to impute into those that come to us seeking prayer. So now, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you. We love you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.